Blog Talk Radio.
Inclusive estoy aquí en el estudio con mi camisa al lado de mí. Estoy sin camisa, para que lo sepan. Tengo un vaso de limonada al ladito así para bebérmelo poco a poco, porque de verdad que está caliente. Parece que estamos en primavera. No lo estamos, pero parece. Este es su show, Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Y yo soy su anfitrión, Will Santiago Viera. Hoy tenemos un show muy, muy bueno. Vamos a tener una conversación con dos amigos. Nelson Dennis, que escribió Una guerra contra todos los puertorriqueños, y Alfonso Lozada, que es el director ejecutivo del Centro de Reclutamiento de Estudiantes y Alumnos de la Universidad Interamericana de Puerto Rico. Así que no se me vayan, que la cosa se pone buena. Como siempre, saben que les pido que vayan a nuestra página en Facebook y le den un like, y la página se llama Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Estamos creciendo, todas las semanas veo que mucha gente viene y le dan un like a la página. Eso es importantísimo porque debemos crecer. También tenemos otra página que se llama Boricuas of the World Social Club, y ahí fue que comenzó todo. Es súper secreta y tiene que ir a su página. A la mano izquierda hay una cajita y usted escribe el nombre del grupo ahí, Boricuas of the World Social Club. Y ahí, cuando el grupo aparece, entonces usted pide añadirse al grupo. Nosotros, si lo aprobamos, pues entonces usted tiene chance de invitar a sus amistades a que sean miembros del grupo. Como siempre, también les pido, queremos gente buena, no queremos gente mala, que nos añadan, que no nos quiten, porque si nos dan, nos traen personas que no van a ser buenos el grupo y van a poner vagabunderías, nosotros lo sacamos muy rápidamente. Este es una página de crecimiento, una página para hablar acerca de los problemas y las cosas buenas que pasan en Puerto Rico y también acá en los Estados Unidos y donde quiera que haya boricuas. Como les dije, hoy tenemos dos amigos, Nelson Dennis, el que escribió A War Against All Puerto Ricans, Una guerra contra todos los puertorriqueños, y él habla un poquito más de inglés estoy marcado hoy. Habla un poquito menos el español que lo habla Alfonso. Eso es lo que quería decir. Así que vamos a hablar en inglés. So I'm glad to be here in the air with you guys. You guys are open. Hello, Nelson Dennis. Hello, Alfonso Lozada. How are you guys today?
Great to be here. Thanks for the invitation again.
Yeah, great. Perdone que se me trabó la lengua. Perdone que se me trabó la lengua, pero que de tanto hablar en español la lengua se le traba a uno de vez en cuando. So guys, the reason why we're here today is because we want to talk about the event that is coming up in a few days.
Yes, sir.
That'll be on the 16th of this month, Wednesday, the 16th, at 7 p.m. And this is happening at the site for the Inter-American University of Puerto Rico, which is at 2196 3rd Avenue. What's happening is that we have Mr. Nelson Dennis, who will be doing a reading of his book, A War Against All Puerto Ricans. And we have a bunch of people that have already said that they will be there, but today we're inviting everyone. We're inviting as many people as we can, and we're going to give you the contact number and the email in which you can confirm that you're coming. Pero de todos modos, un poquito en español con Alfonso. Alfonso, tuvimos un evento allá el día 4 de febrero que estuvo muy bueno. Háblanos un poquito acerca del evento.
Sí, el evento quedó bastante bueno. Nosotros pues le dimos auspicio por este mismo programa. Estuvimos bastante contentos que muchas de las personas pudieron asistir. Jonathan Marcantoni, que escribió un muy buen libro que se llama Kings of Seventh Avenue, estuvo allí presente con dos amigos, A.B. Lugo y el señor Vázquez. y nada, Charlie Vázquez. Para hacer la Charlie Vázquez, sí, para hacer la primera presentación de esto que nosotros estamos creando, que queremos que sea una serie, que se haga mensualmente para el público puertorriqueño, que se nutra de información de estos talentos puertorriqueños. Nada, quedó bastante bueno para mí, para hacer la primera, y ahora pues nos estamos votando con el segundo installment, con el libro de Nelson, que pues se ha convertido en una cosa épica. Yo, la gran mayoría de las personas que conozco en Puerto Rico lo han leído. Sé que tiene mucho énfasis en la prensa también, así que estamos muy muy privilegiados de poder tener a Nelson este miércoles.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're getting ready. We're psyched up, and Nelson actually was at the first one when we did on February the 4th with Jonathan Marcantoni, Charlie Vázquez, and AB Lugo. You were there, Nelson. Tell us a little bit about your experience that day.
Bueno, fue la primera vez que yo atendí a la instalación de Alfonso y tuve la oportunidad de platicar un tiempito con Alfonso sobre lo que es lo que hace la Universidad Interamericana de él, y lo que están aquí ofreciendo al público latino. Pero ahora voy a hablar en inglés, porque la verdad es que, you know, that I've reached my verbal limit. That's my quota, apparently.
We're all the same.
I had never been in that. I met Alfonso for the first time, and at that reading, and first it was a tremendously entertaining reading. The readers were great. It was great performance art. Yeah, and Marcantoni is an excellent writer. His other book, The Feast of San Sebastian, is also something of a hit. About a contemporary novel about Puerto Rico, and so it was a really important and very insightful cultural event that Alfonso identified Jonathan Marcantoni as an up and coming writer that has a lot to say about life in Puerto Rico. So it was a great reading, and then I learned something critical. Yeah, something that actually for me came as a shock when Alfonso explained to me what the university offering that they have. I think we've heard of the University of Phoenix, and we see all this stuff on the internet, but we haven't had one that's really dedicated to Latinos, Puerto Ricans, something that is culturally user friendly, both in terms of language and the curriculum that's offered. Well, I'll let Alfonso explain it, but I thought it would be a really good thing on the air for people to know that there is a university offering that is completely accredited, that you get the college degree, and you don't end up owing $150,000. And I'll let Alfonso explain it, and I think that's one of the most valuable things we could do to let people know what it is, what his university is offering. So if you want to take a few moments, Alfonso, I think people will really benefit from it.
Definitely.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I actually feel very grateful for Will's constant invitation, because he has actually allowing me a platform to speak directly to the people. There's a lot of people that listen to the show that are, you know, not specifically in New York, that they're overseas. And this is where the online courses that we offer, because, we obviously have the 9 campuses in Puerto Rico, and we have now the Center for Recruitment in New York, and there's another one in Orlando. But we offer 47 different programs that are completely accredited online, 19 full masters, 20 bachelors, and 8 associates. And they range, you know, from biology to education to marketing and finance. I would urge everybody to go to inter.edu and find out, or just go by our center at 2196 Third Avenue. I'm inviting you to come over on Wednesday so that you can listen to Nelson give his fantastic presentation. It's going to be more than just a presentation, because he's going to do a presentation, then he's going to sit down and have a Q&A with me, and then have a Q&A with the audience, which I would think will be a very fruitful thing for the audience and the fans of the book. But, one of the great things about the university is the low cost of tuition and matriculation. I was just in Syracuse for the last couple of days at a at a big national college fair, and you'll be surprised how much people are worried about student loan debt. All these schools that were there, big schools from all over the country offering, per year, I think it's by average $22,000 per year. And, you know, that's before student grants and et cetera. In Inter-American, you can study a bachelor's $178.
How much?
It comes $178 per credit. It comes from $19,000 for all 4 years. All 4 years. It's like a fourth of the price.
Incredible.
So it's very beneficial. Yeah, it's very beneficial for the people that don't believe that they can actually afford to go to college. We actually opened the center to be able to offer that, to be able to offer an alternative.
So, Alfonso, if I heard it correctly, you said $19,000 for all 4 years. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah.
So for roughly $5,000 a year, $19,000 total,
mm-hmm.
You get a college degree.
And
right?
if you actually qualify for the great majority of the grants that are offered through Pell, they can even give you up to $5,000 a year. If your grades for all the students, if they have really good grades and their financial situation, merits it, you can get up to $5,000. I actually went to recruit. I went to recruit on an activity in Far Rockaway, and there was a kid over there that qualified for a grant, and the grant, I believe, was going to give him $4,999. And with all the math that was done, I think per semester, he was only going to have to spend $5,017. So that comes to $18 a year. That's what he's going to spend. It's just amazing. Yeah, so
what you're saying is that the Pell Grant basically if the person gets good grades, and maybe, you know, mm-hmm. people want to know what exactly that criteria is, like is it a B or, you know, what exactly the cutoff is. But if they qualify for that Pell Grant, and I know people get a lot of Pell Grants, that the Pell
There's
Grant,
a lot of them. There's the last time that I was speaking with Will, I believe it was like a month ago, I spoke about all the Pell Grants that are offered. You know, they have academic grants and, one of them is called Programa de Honor, which is Owner's Program. There's an institutional grant. There's an engineering one. Go to inter.edu to find out a little bit more information. But, you know, the Pell Grants are very accessible for people that qualify,
so,
and they help out our community tremendously.
So, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, because, I mean, the real excellent thing about this is that if you're a young person who's working, this is very affordable to you. If you're a low or moderate income family, it's very affordable. You know, now you can say, you know, my child is going to go to college. And I'm one of those few people who believes that an education, regardless, it's still tough out there with an education, but an education is going to take you places where normally a high school diploma will not. And so this
is the
only time
thing.
To take advantage.
It's the only thing. It's the only thing that opens doors, you know, towards a better future. And, you know, we've all heard Mr. Bernie Sanders talking about the reality of what's happening nowadays for the kids, is that a high school diploma doesn't cut it anymore. A bachelor's degree is kind of like a high school diploma used to be 30 years ago. So, yeah, you know, nowadays, unfortunately, you do need to have a bachelor's degree, and if you can actually get a bachelor's degree that's unaffordable and accessible and won't actually wreck your life with, you know, collecting all the student loan debt, then, you know, that would be perfect. So I urge everybody to go to inter.edu to find out more information. You know, we have the courses that are given in Puerto Rico for people that would want to go be in 80 degree weather every day, to go to class and then go to a beach, be around family. That's perfect. But if you don't have that opportunity because you have a family and you have a job, but you still want to better yourself, you can do it online. And we have, you know, like I mentioned before, we have 47 different programs, 19 masters, 20 bachelors. You can be in Japan, tune in through the computer, and you can get a whole degree from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, to all those soldiers out there, to all the soldiers out there in Japan that listen to us, or the folks that are in England and Central America and South America that enjoy our show, you can study from way out there. If you have a line, internet, you can study. So pay attention,
folks.
You
know, the reality of why the university actually opened this door into online learning is because a lot of soldiers that were studying with the Inter-American University in Puerto Rico were going away. They were being deployed, and they said, you know, while I'm in the base, I want to keep busy, and I would wish to continue with my education. And the university was smart. They were smart enough to tune into that and offer it, you know, to their own students, and it's just become so.
It just took off.
Yeah, it just took off.
To encapsulate then, Alfonso, what you covered is that there's a university. It's called Inter-American University. It's in Puerto Rico, and people can study there. If they're here and they want to still get the full academic experience of it, they can go to there's the website, and it is inter.edu. That's the website,
yes,
right?
Yes, like education. Yes, sir.
And then inter.edu shows all the course offerings. It shows 20 different bachelor's degree programs and over 40 programs all total. And also
online,
inter,
47.
47. And then also at inter.edu is the information for how to qualify for the Pell Grants. And the tuition is so low. It's $5,000 a year for four years, and it comes out to about $19,000 to get a complete college diploma. But in addition, at inter.edu, it shows people how they may qualify for Pell Grants that will actually offset almost the entirety, and they can practically get a college education for free. Is that a fair way of a fair summary of this?
That is a fair assessment, yes.
Well, I think some people should be going on inter.edu right now. That's all I can say. That's
sounds
amazing.
Like a great commercial to me.
It's amazing. I wanted to walk through that.
You should be the spokesperson.
I think I have to hire Nelson to do the commercial.
Help at all. It's just tremendous, man. You know,
it is tremendous.
Look, I was one block from your office, you know, from your where you have the storefront where we met. You're at 119th Street, right on 3rd Avenue. My office was at 119th Street and 2nd Avenue. When I was in the state assembly, that was my district office. And when I was up in Albany, the assemblyman would be Will Vieira because he was in there all the time. He basically took over him and Acorn took over the office. So,
that's not true.
But I can tell you, Alfonso, how many times and how much of what we did in that office had to do with people that weren't able to get a job. They were having constantly. And underneath it all was the fact, unfortunately, that the people in our neighborhood, ahí en el barrio, in East Harlem, they hadn't had the opportunity to get to complete their education. So
that is the word.
Know,
that is the word. A lot of people have not had the opportunity, and we are offering another option, an alternative, and an opportunity.
Yeah, and the thing is that most of the people that I organized back then were low and moderate income families that could not afford the kind of, you know, to pay the kind of money that people are paying for an education nowadays. This would have been so great because I'm pretty sure Acorn would have been all over this thing.
And
tuition has gotten that much more expensive than it was probably back then. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, you know.
You're doing one of the great public services in the community of El Barrio, and I want to thank you. And I truly hope that you get a tremendous turnout and a tremendous traffic all the time. And what is the? I know that you'll say it, but let me ask: what's the address of your office there in East Harlem, in case they want to talk to you personally?
It's 2196 on 3rd Avenue. It's between 119th Street and 120th, and right in the heart of El Barrio.
So that puts it right next to the Silberman Building where they have the Hunter, that big school on the corner, the Hunter School.
Yeah,
the
social
right
studies.
Next to it.
Yes, right next to it. Yeah, it's only four
and
right
next
to it.
One more thing. I'm sorry. One more thing is that the site is there. If you need to study, you know that we Latinos are a little rowdy. If you hear a lot of noise in your home, you want to do your homework, you can go there and do your work. Do your schoolwork there.
That is correct.
You use the computers. So you have a place where it's quiet, where it's conducive to you know, a good education. This you got to take advantage of, folks. You were saying.
Yeah, a lot of people that have a job and see themselves, you know, achieving something better, but don't have the time to go and sit in a classroom for 2 hours and do the commute because they have children or because they have to get up early the next day to go to their job. I urge them to go into our website and consider the possibility of studying online because it's completely accredited. It's subject to the grants, and you can do it from the comfort of your own home.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's
folks,
tremendous. And
this
and
has been a commercial. This has been
right.
a commercial for the Inter-American University of Puerto Rico. This is, I mean, you know how much money this is worth on the air.
What do you say? What
but
are you
listen,
saying? Though?
Well, you guys owe me money.
Yeah,
both of you. No, but
on
a serious note,
it deserves it because you know what?
No, it definitely does.
Because Will, here's what happens. You've heard this term that the best social program is a job, and so when people are able to become self-empowered and get their degree, get their education, fulfill their own self with what they want to be in life, then the social cost to everybody else goes down. So it's not just, you know, that we're promoting, although we are, because it's a valuable service, but we're actually promoting our own well-being. Because in the end, when a whole community becomes self-sufficient, then the taxpayers don't have to worry, the people are coming here and they're suddenly going on, you know, getting Section 8 or something. This is a way, in effect, what a group like Inter-American does is they're really promoting the welfare of the whole country because they're making the whole country self-sufficient.
Yeah,
I agree with that completely.
Take advantage. That's the message you got to take from this whole conversation, this whole commercial, is that you got to take advantage. It's there. Take it. You know, you don't get these opportunities all that often. But changing topics a little bit, I just wanted to let you guys know that Nelson, a friend of yours, is going to be on a special show tomorrow. We have Paco Vasquez, the cinematographer who created the documentary La Gran Falacia.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be with us tomorrow. We're going to chat about the work that he's doing, the reason why he made the movie, and a bunch of other good things. So, I hope that all the folks are prepared to listen to the special show that happens tomorrow night at 11. So I will be posting the link a little later. For some reason,
mm-hmm.
Black Talk does not allow me to place a link until my show is over. So I will place it later. But I hope you folks tune in and listen to this great fella who's going to be talking about this movie. Y es muy importante porque la película es acerca de la situación económica de Puerto Rico y el impacto socioeconómico que tiene la situación esta. También parte de todo esto es la relación colonista entre Puerto Rico y los Estados Unidos. Mucho de esto tiene que ver con eso. Y va a ser una conversación muy interesante, así que espero que les interese mucho y que llamen a sus amistades. Si esto es una cosa importante para ustedes, llamen a sus amistades y le dicen que sintonicen nuestro show. Okay.
Yeah, él viene con la película, ¿verdad? Luego en abril, yo creo que en como un mes.
Sí, creo que fue lo que él
Paco
dijo.
Paco viene con la película.
Nos dejará saber mañana. Si ustedes quieren saber cuándo viene, porque están interesados en ir a ver la película, pueden entonces escuchar el show y ir a ver la película cuando llegue a Nueva York. Tenemos algunos avances de la película que podemos poner un poquito más tarde en nuestras páginas. En nuestras dos páginas, así que más tardecito pues ya verán un pequeño avance de la película. Una película muy buena, yo la vi totalmente y me quedé asombrado de lo bueno que es y de la información que te da y lo claro que es todo. Hizo un increíble trabajo este joven Paco Vázquez, y mañana vamos a hablar con él y ustedes escucharán de su propia boca acerca de esta gran película. Nelson, dinos un poquito acerca de lo que vas a hacer el miércoles. Recuerden, miércoles las 7, llámenos. Antes de que nos diga un poquito, si usted quiere ir a este evento, tiene que confirmar con nosotros. De la manera de hacerlo es llamar a Alfonso Lozada, que está aquí con nosotros. Él es el director ejecutivo del Centro de Reclutamiento de Estudiantes y Exalumnos, y el número de teléfono es 646-692-4820. O si quiere hacerlo por correo electrónico, porque es medio vago y no quiere marcarte el teléfono, puede mandarnos un correo electrónico a boricuasoftheworld@gmail.com. Y todo lo que tiene que decirle a Alfonso o decir en el correo electrónico es: quiero confirmar que voy para el evento de Nelson Dennis. Eso es todo. Así que, por favor, si quieren estar en este evento, que es muy especial, es un evento súper especial y no creo que va a pasar otra vez. Así que llamen y estén con nosotros ese día, va a ser muy, muy bueno. Van a ver algunas fotos de las que él comparte en el libro, así que va a ser muy bueno, muy, muy bueno. Okay, Nelson, can you give us a little something on how it is that you do these presentations? Because I know you've done them in Puerto Rico, Florida, and all over the United States.
And for the English-speaking public, let me just translate what Will said in my own vernacular. Will just said that if you wanted to come to the event that we're talking about with respect to War Against All Puerto Ricans, which is the book that I wrote, that it's this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Is that correct? Wednesday at 7 o'clock?
That's correct.
Yes.
Right. Now what Will did, he said that that if you want to come, that then he gave a phone number and an email that people would call in advance to notify of their intention to come, and Will can tell you that number again. But I'm going to add a little to that. Okay.
The number is 646-692-4820. Again, 646-692-4820. And if you want to do it through email, you send me an email at boricuasoftheworld@gmail.com. And all you need to say, either on the phone or on the email, is I intend to go or attend Nelson Dennis's presentation. And that is
and
it.
How
now,
many,
go ahead.
And how many people? And how many people are going to be joining the person that is RSVP? Because I've gotten a lot of calls about attending, so the spaces are limited. Still, everybody's invited. But it's going to be a special one, and we got a lot of people coming, so it's going to be great.
So now, the part that I'm going to add as a public service to everyone, to the public in general, is that this is what Will and Alfonso, as responsible administrators, they need. They're asking people to call or to email in advance. I, as a writer, who have more of an artistic bent, especially at 11:30 on a Friday night, will add a little footnote of my own, which is the following. It being 11:30 on Friday, and people perhaps may not be either of an inclination or of a state of mind or even in a neurological predisposition to remember this phone number, in case you don't manage to get that number, get the hell down there anyway. You're welcome to come on Wednesday at 7 o'clock and just show up. Whether you emailed or whether you phoned or not, we would love to have you, and so that's my little addition that on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, it is open to the public, and yes, that the Alfonso's space is limited, but the event is not limited. So if you live in El Barrio, if you heard about it, if you're interested in the book, just come. I'm going to violate the rule that these guys just sit down, and I'm going to urge you to just get on down there anyway, man.
Now look, the idea here is that if it's difficult for you to email us because you work very hard, you don't have much time, or you can't call, fine, show up. But if you have a little time, just let us know, because we have limited seating, and so we want to make sure that as many people as we can get in there, can sit down and enjoy the show. But there's, you know, you, if you want to go in there and there's, and this place is filled and you want to stand, that's beautiful, because I will be standing and I will be hanging with you and asking you questions. So don't worry about it. Okay?
Let me take a moment to situate the book in terms of some unfolding events and why it's useful to understand the history of the relationship between the United States and Puerto Rico. Right now, the Senate and the Congress, both houses, are considering a bicameral bill which will create a financial control board, which will be within anticipated within two or three months, which will go down and will be the de facto government and economic entity that rules Puerto Rico. This financial control board will basically manage the entire Puerto Rican economy. And in my view, it's going to be nothing but a collection agency for the hedge funds that hold Puerto Rico's debt. Essentially, in my view, it is the imposition of an entirely new dictatorship in the Caribbean in what is supposedly a commonwealth as of 1952. So there's a rather naked political and financial aggression, a whole new layer of an imperial way of managing Puerto Rico's affairs, and it's going to happen within a few months because we have the $73 billion public debt, because the hedge funds are actively blocking any Chapter 9 resolution or H.R. 870, which is the bill in Congress, which would allow for some access to Chapter 9. Let me just give you a bit of context. Puerto Rico was a qualifying entity for Chapter 9 bankruptcy until 1984. And here's an interesting thing. These same hedge funds and their lawyers, and it's going all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is also considering the Franklin Temple versus Puerto Rico case right at the same time that they're creating this financial control board. And the case, what it revolves around, is that in 1984 they rewrote the bankruptcy law and excluded Puerto Rico, whereby Puerto Rico had been included in the bankruptcy code for decades before it. So think about what happened in 1984. That bill was passed in the Chapter 9, the new bankruptcy code was passed in June 29, 1984. That was a presidential election year. It was a midterm election for Ronald Reagan. So in the very middle of the Reagan administration, at the last minute, some lobbyists got this change in there, and nobody knows, the litigants themselves, when they go up before the Supreme Court right now, the lawyers themselves, they admit, we don't know how that got in there, and we don't know the reason why it's in there. No one can understand the policy underpinnings for Puerto Rico not being in it, because there is none. There is no policy rationale. The only rationale, when you eliminate that, is that there's an economic benefit to the creditors. So that means, very simply, it's not a great leap of logic to understand that during an election year, a lobbyist for these Wall Street interests went to the Reagan administration and said, yo, guys, what the hell? Why don't we just throw this in there? No one's looking. Who cares? And that's what they did. And so now, just because someone had access to the Reagan administration, the whole island, 8 million people, because it also affects Puerto Ricans, their families here who move here, it affects the entire Puerto Rican community. So millions of people on the island and off the island, people are losing their pensions, their homes, their jobs. They're having to move, leave everything they knew, because some lobbyist was able to do, you know, a last little minute trick in 1984 in the middle of the Reagan administration. That's what we're facing. And that's why this is very timely, to understand the history of how Puerto Rico has been treated by the United States, because it's not just about a quote-unquote debt. It's about a much larger relationship that we have been suffering. It includes the Jones Act. It includes these lobbyists. It includes hedge fund creditors that pay 10 cents of an investment and then want $1 worth of return. This has gone on for over 100 years. And basically now, if we're not careful, the whole island is going to be turned into one great public, what they call public-private partnership. These hedge funds, if they don't get their money, which they know Puerto Rico can't pay, then they're going to go after the infrastructure of Puerto Rico, the highways, bridges, schools, prisons. There's two highways right now, PR2 at 22 and PR5 that are owned by Goldman Sachs. The airport is owned by a Mexican consortium. The public school system was privatized a month and a half ago through a fast-track legislation sponsored by Senator Batia. And Alfonso, you know about all this. So what we're facing right now is the large-scale privatization of the entire Puerto Rican economy for these hedge funds, and they're going to have a financial control board to make sure that it happens. And it is for that reason that we have to understand that there has been a war against all Puerto Ricans, and it continues to this day. And that's why I'm glad that we're having this conference on Wednesday.
So there you heard it, folks. This is going to be a great moment for everyone on Wednesday. If you really want to get to the nitty-gritty, understand this well, understand why it's happening, understand why for the last 50, 60 years there's been a huge struggle, even before that, but the last 50, 60 years has been a strong struggle to separate ourselves from Puerto, from the U.S. These are some of the reasons, and if you really want to understand some of these things well, you come on Wednesday. Again, if you want to contact us and let us know that you're coming, the number to call is 646-692-4820, or you can send us an email at boricuasoftheworld@gmail.com. And don't forget that we are going to have another show tomorrow. This is a special show in which we'll be talking to Paco Vasquez, is the young cinematographer who wrote La Gran Falacia. And this is a book that talks about the impact, the socioeconomic impact on this debt, of this debt in Puerto Rico. And, of course, it has a lot to do with the relationship that we have, the colonial relationship that we have with the United States. So quiero que recuerden eso, que por favor vayan el miércoles y escuchen el show mañana, que también le voy a dar el recordatorio. De todos modos, mi gente, ya hemos terminado aquí. Gracias a los dos, a Nelson y Alfonso, por estar con nosotros. Y nos vemos, si Dios quiere, el miércoles que viene a las 7 p.m. Otra vez, la dirección es, para que lo escriban, tienen el papel en la mano, es el 2196 de la Tercera Avenida. Y eso queda entre las 119 y 120, casi llegando a las 120. Así que corra para allá y llévese a todas sus amistades. Llamen a sus amistades y digan, mira, tenemos a Nelson Dennis, que va a hacer una presentación muy buena. Quiero que aparezcas por allá. Así que nos vemos la semana que viene, mi gente. Los dejo con un poquito de música. Como somos boricua, los vamos a dejar con Mon Rivera. Otra vez, Nelson, muchas gracias por estar con nosotros. Alfonso, muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Gracias, Will, te lo agradezco.
Ok, muy bien. Hablamos por teléfono pronto, muchachos. Aquí los dejo con la música.
Ok,
hasta mañana.
El sol y su alma.
decades in Puerto Rico and what has led, you know, to the shit that we're going through now. So, yeah, no, it was wonderful, brother.